It's time to take a journey, to find your courage, break through your limits, and master your destiny. It's time for Ken D. Foster's Voices of Courage. Ken brings you some of the most courageous people on the planet that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. It's time to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. It's time for Voices of Courage. And here's your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster, for the Voices of Courage show, as you know. And today, we have a very important topic we're going to be discussing. It's called addiction. And addiction impacts millions of Americans. It impacts millions of people around the world. And right now, with the shutdown, with people wearing masks, with people putting more stress in their lives, there seems to be an increase in the addiction and the problems with alcohol and the drugs and just about any other addiction you can think of right now. So I decided to dedicate a whole show to talk about addictions. And today I am so blessed. I have a lady who is the founder of the Relationship Institute of Palm Beach and creator of Self-Full, a therapeutic method to personal wellness and freedom from codependence. And of course, we're talking about addiction too. Her name is Jessica Baum. And Jessica is here with me in studio. I'm glad you're here, Jessica. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, this is a big challenge today in America, isn't it? We've got a lot of people that are really being impacted by the addiction of alcohol and drugs. I know you work with a lot of people that have gone through that. How did you get involved in that field?
Primarily, I didn't actually try to get into addiction, but working in South Florida, it was kind of where I landed. Once I landed here and started working with the population, I realized that's exactly where I needed to be, because there's a spiritual component to helping people with addiction that deeply resonated with me that I didn't know about going into it.
Interesting. Well, why do you think it's like rampant right now? I mean, really, I'm reading all kinds of back end stories on people that are the recovery centers seem to be filled up right now. A lot of them, people knocking on the doors to get in. Why do you think that's happening right now?
I think there's a couple of reasons why it's happening right now. One of the biggest reasons, I think, is and as you treat or as I've worked with addicts in the past, one of their core issues is boredom. And I think being displaced or not working and having to sit at home and being more in your feelings, or you'll struggle with more boredom, and people are looking for ways to escape that. And a lot of people are, you know, are using, you know, drugs and alcohol to kind of medicate the void and the boredom that's coming up as we were forced to kind of stop and pause. I think another reason why treatment centers are busy right now is not only are people stopping and getting heavily into their addiction and facing their boredom and their fear and the collective anxiety, other family members are more likely to see it. So if you're isolating with other family members, you can't hide your addiction as much anymore because it's more in your face. There's not an opportunity to be discreet about it. So it's coming up because of all the stressors, the boredom, the anxiety, the collective anxiety, and people are more likely, your family's more likely to see it if they're isolating with you. So the combination of all those things are making treatment centers a little bit busier right now.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges with addiction is a couple of things. First of all, I believe we have an identity crisis in America. We don't really know who we are. We think we're our houses or our cars or our accomplishments or our girlfriends or our wives, or we think that's who we are. This is our identity. And I think when we lose that identity, actually being a powerful infinite being that we are, then something, then we start chasing a lot of things and we start to lose that sense of self-respect inside of us. So I know you talk a lot about self-love. How do we develop that?
Yeah. I mean, so I love the topic that you are bringing on. I don't know that we're chasing things, or we're looking to fill the void with something external, right? So we develop different parts of our ego, and some of that is validated by our external life. But if there's a disconnect within, so if we're not connecting within, we keep looking outside to fill that void. And whatever that is, we can kind of do cross addictions all over the place. But it's really an abandonment of self, an inability to connect with your inner being, And truthfully, connecting within means sitting in your feelings. It means experiencing life. And for a lot of people who have experienced trauma or other things, they might not be capable to hold that space within. So they need those medicators, so to speak. So it's complicated, but developing that self-love is really about holding your own emotional experience and telling yourself that your emotional experience is okay and starting to cultivate a dialogue with your experience, past, present, and future, to gain that awareness and have healthier communication with yourself and your emotional side.
Let's just talk about that emotional side. What are the symptoms of someone that is not have self-love? Let's just talk about that.
So someone who is not hasn't cultivated self-love, or they're more willing to take risks, they have low self-esteem, they don't take care of themselves, they don't have healthy practices, they have critical voices inside, they could be critical outside too, they just are lacking that connection to source.
Tell me a little bit about Selfful, the internal connection and the work that you've now patented out there. What is this?
Yeah, so I mean, and I talk a lot about relationships, but essentially it's all the same. It's the relationship that you have with yourself. So I talk about people who are selfless. They have this void and they kind of abandon themselves for all different reasons. And in some of my work, it's for love or perceived love, right? We abandon ourselves for all these different things. And becoming self-full is energetically holding that space for yourself and building that container within yourself to be present for yourself. And it's very much an energetic alignment in terms of cultivating and like generating more internal flow and less need to feed the monster and more connection from heart to brain. There's a big heart to brain connection in terms of becoming self-full. So it's a complicated process, but it's a wonderful process. And it kind of makes you feel like you're capable of taking care of more of your emotional needs.
That's good. So let's tie in emotional needs to addiction. What happens when we have a substance abuse, right? We're using alcohol, we're using drugs, we're using some other addiction to fulfill the big empty void inside. How do we heal those emotions that are actually driving that?
Yeah, I love that question. So this isn't true for every case, but if we have a core wound around I'm unlovable or I'm unworthy, and let's say it's unconscious or subconscious, mm-hmm. We will medicate those feelings. We can medicate those feelings as they come up for us in the present life. So what that means is that we might drink our pain, or we might drink our emotional experience. We might drink our grief. We will use any kind of medicator to self-soothe, right? And so over a period of time, and this isn't true. Some people genetically are more, you know, they become addicts faster, but over a period of time, you can also develop an addiction because you haven't developed the ability to hold yourself or self-soothe in a healthy way. So you kind of grab for something to calm your nervous system down. So, you know, it's very complicated, but learning how to meet your own emotional needs, show up for that space and sit in uncomfortability and work in that arena is the key to kind of unlocking some of your addictive dependencies.
So if somebody's sitting out there right now and they have a loved one, or they're sitting there, they're sitting drinking or doing drugs right now, they just happen to come across this program. They're like, wow, you know, I'd really like to do something different with this. What can you share with them?
So someone who is using right now, I would say that the best thing that they can start to do is develop awareness around it. So the best thing we can start to do is start to really understand the why, start to map out when they're using, what are the triggers. If you are triggered, so that just means you get really emotional. How old do you feel? And what are the thought patterns that are coming up around that? What's the wounding that's coming up around that? And so what are you medicating to get underneath the substance? Because the substance is a secondary product of the underlying issue. So to start to become aware that like maybe alcohol is helping you deal with X, Y, and Z, and taking that away and looking at what the underlying issue is starts with just an awareness that you're doing it. And I think that's so powerful when you can start to build the awareness that you're medicating a wounded part of yourself, essentially. So that's the first step I would tell anyone, is that breaking some denial and developing some awareness is really important.
Well, you know, I've heard it say that addicts are usually told maybe 25 times that they need to get some help. They're honestly the last person to really know that they have a problem. So what you're saying is that acknowledgement, nothing changes unless we acknowledge what's going on. So what do you say to that?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. There's a fair degree of denial, know, and so that's a dance. In working with addiction, there are addicts that are actively using that deep down know it's not good for them, and they just might be in a motivational or contemplation stage of change, like meaning they're not ready to make the action, but like there's that heart knowing that something needs to change. And there are some addicts that are completely in denial.
All righty. Well, yeah, you know, it's a good time. I got to take a little quick break here. We will come right back. All righty.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today, our show is called The Courage to Live Free from Addiction. And before I get back to my guest, I want to give a quick shout out to one of my sponsors, Women's Wisdom. This is an organization that's been around for women entrepreneurs since 1991. And so if you're a woman entrepreneur, pay close attention. What they have is celebrity speakers that come in twice a month on their online platforms where you get to network with women in your community and also around the world. And they help you to grow your business and grow your life. They tell me they have lots of fun every meeting, which I do believe. And these are powerful women. These are leaders in the community. So if that's you, you may want to check them out. You can find them at womenswisdom.net. That is womenswisdom.net. Hope you'll check them out. All right. My guest today is Jessica Baum. She is the founder of Relationship Institute of Palm Beach. She's the creator of Selfful, which is a method, a therapeutic path to personal wellness and freedom. And Jessica, you know, I am... There's a lot of people out there right now in the world that are putting up with these addicts. You know, there's a lot of codependents out there, and they really enable them. What can you share to the codependent audience today? What can you tell them to give them some inspiration to maybe acknowledge what's going on?
Yeah, well, anybody who's enabling an addict, there's a secondary gain for them in it. So they're serving a need, an unmet need in them, whether to save, to help, to feel validated by helping. So there is the same void that's in the addict is actually mirrored in the codependent. And that's a lot of the work that I do, is that it's an addiction to be codependently taken care of or enabling. That in itself is an addiction. So I would ask them to look at what's underneath the behavior for them. Why aren't they taking healthy care, self-care, self-loving acts for themselves? So it's just as deep on the other side of the coin.
That's interesting. So it's just as deep. And if somebody's in that codependent mode, a lot of times they don't even realize that they are empowering the addict to stay as they are. Maybe they're a mom and they just think they're taking care of their kid and, you know, they just want the best for them. I had a very close friend of mine that lost his child to addiction. And, he kept enabling this guy, his son. And, you know, he lost him because of that. He thought he was doing what he could, but unfortunately sometimes tough love is what you need. What do you think?
Absolutely right. And this is an important message to get out there, is that often parents they struggle more with seeing their child struggle or their loved one struggle. So they go in and save, and they keep saving and they keep saving and then saving. And what we don't realize is the suffering and the struggle becomes the catalyst for change. And unless we let someone suffer and struggle, we can't allow them to get what they need to change. But it's very scary when you feel like you can fix it or save it. And it brings up a lot of anxiety for the enabler, and they have to sit with the anxiety of letting go and letting that loved one struggle, knowing that the struggle most likely, hopefully, will lead to good change. If not, you're preventing change. And so it's paradoxical in nature, because our knee-jerk reaction is to go in and save and help the people we love. But really, we have to stop doing that and sit with our anxiety of letting go, to let the people that we love learn how to change themselves and to stop saving them. They need to save themselves, so we can't keep rescuing. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And I know it's very hard to do, you know, with a mom or a dad, you know, and they're watching their child go down the wrong path, to sit there and let them go down that path, let them hit their own bottom. That's very difficult for people.
Yeah. And it's not that black and white, you know, it's never abandon your kid. It's what are the healthy boundaries? How do you provide the resources that you need to provide? And then where do you let go? And that looks different in every situation.
That makes a lot of sense. So, being selfless, right? Can being selfless, because I know you talk about this a lot, can being selfless lead to addiction? That's an interesting question.
It's a good question. I love that you ask these questions, because I'm thinking about it too in the moment, because I have selfless and I have selfish, and in the middle is self-full, right? So self-full is a healthy degree of taking care of yourself, learning how to take care of yourself first. When we think of someone as selfish, we think of they're only out for their own gain. And when we think of someone who's selfless, we like give ourselves away. But I think a lot of addicts are selfless, and they've learned not to connect with themselves. They're not always these selfish people. That's how they show up in their addiction. But if you take their addiction away, they're actually selfless in nature. They haven't made these, a lot of them, not all of them, but they have lower self-esteem. They give themselves away. They don't have good self-care, right? That's not necessarily like the narcissistic type of addict, but a lot of addicts, when you take them out of their addiction, they're very empathic, very sensitive people with lower self-esteem. And so there's a misconception that they're selfish, and they're really only selfish in a survival way in their addiction. As soon as they're out of their addiction, more of their actually true essence comes up.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because I think in our society, we romance alcohol. We romance even, drugs. I mean, we romance it. We think there's something really wonderful about it. We see commercials about it. We see, you know, everybody is, quote, doing it. And, you know, it's a false impression, because there's a certain amount of people that actually do get addicted. And once they're addicted, it's very difficult to get off. So what do you think the solution is, if somebody's sitting here today and they're like, I need to change, I need to step into something different, I need to go and be a better person? Can they do that through self-love, or do they need treatment, or what? You know, it's probably a complicated question, but.
Yeah, I mean, there is emotional dependency, but then there's a physical dependency. So it really depends on each case and where you are. If you are physically dependent, you're going to need more help detoxing, because it's not safe to just try to get sober on your own, especially with benzodiazepines like Xanax or alcohol. You can, you know, really hurt yourself if you just decide to quit cold turkey. So that actually, you need medical assistance. But if you're just kind of dependent on something and you're starting to notice that your dependency is getting a little bit more routine, you can bring awareness to that and just really challenge yourself to kind of step away from that. And it doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol. We can be nicotine. It can be coffee. I did a week of no coffee. I mean, you can start to look at, what am I dependent on? Because those are mood altering substances as well.
Boy, they are. That coffee can get you quick. Yeah. So
I love it too. I love my coffee.
Well, I love it now and then until the coffee starts drinking the coffee. You know what I mean? It's like you take one cup, then you want another cup and another cup. So then I let it go. So right now I'm out of it, which is a good thing. Yeah. Anyway, I hope that people are getting some real value out of this. Jessica, how can people get a hold of you if they'd like to connect with you?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram page, Jessica Baum, LMHC, but the best way is probably on my professional website, Relationship Institute of Palm Beach, if you just put that in, or www.relationships.pb.com, or you can type in Jessica Baum therapist. I probably pop up on like the first like 10 things. So
that's awesome.
Well, ways to find me.
Yeah. And I love that you're doing relationship. I mean, it's a relationship with self, relationship with your alcohol, relationship with friends, with family. Are you covering the gamut with relationship?
Yeah. You know, and it's like, I get so many, I specialize in couples therapy, trauma, and addiction. I get a lot of couples counseling, like help me. And I love that. I love that. But I can't do my whole caseload like that. And the truth is, the Relationship Institute is really about the relationship with yourself. And that gets mirrored in your relationship with money, in your relationship with your friends, in your romantic relationship. It all is mirrored, and it's all mirroring what's going on inside. So it is nice that you bring that up, because it's so much more than me treating couples.
Absolutely. Wow. All right. Well, listen, I got to take a break. Jessica, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. And I hope you'll come back and join me again when your new book comes out. I know that's coming in a year and a half or so. Congratulations on the deal with Penguin, and much success along the way.
Thank you so much for having me.
All righty. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I've got two guests coming up. And my guest who's on the show coming up is Kay White, and one of her therapists, Brenda. And Kay White is the owner of Villa Cali Ma, a residential treatment center here in San Diego, California. She's one of the sponsors of the show. If you've got addiction going on, you want to listen to this. All right, I'll take a break. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Cali Ma is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Cali Ma offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Cali Ma focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Cali Ma is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Cali Ma in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Cali Ma, a place for transformation.
Hi, this is Ken D. Foster. Are you an author or would-be author? If so, a few of my New York Times best-selling author friends, some of my book marketing strategist friends, and I are going to be teaching you how to write, market, and launch your book to bestseller status. And get this, no cost to you. You're going to learn from the experts that I use, their formulas, and their simple steps to make your book a bestseller. So find out how to do this at CourageToChange.us/invite, CourageToChange.us/invite. There are, I think we have 12 master teachers in the class right now. You're going to learn things you never knew about book marketing. I can tell you that because I've been marketing books for the last 15 years, and I've learned a whole bunch from the experts that I brought on. Hope you'll join us at CourageToChange.us.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Great to have you back. Hey, the courage today. What's the courage today? Well, the courage today is to live free from addictions. Before I get to my guest, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I really appreciate you letting your friends and your family know about our show. That's how we grow. As you know, we're in about 165 countries right now, and we got tens of thousands of people listening to us all the time. So I appreciate that. That's because of you, because you're letting people know. So if you want to find out about our replays, you can go to couragetochange.us. All of our replays are there. And of course, if you just tell Cortana, Siri, or Alexa, play Voices of Courage podcast, it'll come right up and play our current episode. So great to have you as a guest, great to have you as a listener, and send your questions and comments also to viewer@voicesofcourage.us, and we'll answer those questions for you. Today is a great day to have Kay White on my show. Kay is completely transformed her life. In 2011, she attended a residential treatment program for addiction. Then she lived in a sober home for about 4 months. And then she went and did a 200-hour yoga transformation training. As a result, her psyche changed, her life changed, her awakening happened. And she decided to dedicate her life into not only changing herself, but changing the lives of people with addiction. Kay, I know you're there. You want to turn on your video and so I can see you and say hi? Yep. And I'm not seeing her. Wait, I know she's there. So let me help her turn on her video. All righty. Let's see. Well, I don't know.
Can you hear me?
There you go. And there you are. All righty. Hey, Kay, welcome.
Hi, Ken. Thank you.
Good, good. Good to have you today. Wow.
And Danielle should be joining us.
Yeah, Danielle's there too. Danielle's there too, so I'd like to go ahead and introduce Danielle also. Danielle Herring is a licensed marriage and family therapist with over 25 years experience. Danielle is a trauma therapist at the Villa Calima Residential Treatment Center. She uses a combination of EMDR and breath work to help clients heal their core wounds. Wow, ladies, so great to have both of you here today. Wow, we're talking about addiction. Kay, tell me your story a little bit. You know, how did you get out of that crazy addiction that you were into?
Well, I started by going to a 30-day treatment program. I just was, you know, had wrecked my life completely, wrecked my family, had lost all my friends, and just got to such a dark place that I knew I needed help. I could no longer control my drinking and using, and I couldn't quit on my own. So I went and checked into a treatment facility, and I stayed there for 30 days. And then after that, I went to a sober living house for women. And I didn't plan on going to that. I wasn't, you know, when I went into treatment, I was just going to do my 30 days and that's it. But then I realized I needed more support. So I went to 4 months at the sober living program for women. And then during that time, I was introduced to yoga and the spiritual practice of yoga and the eight limb path of yoga. And so I became very interested in that and wanted to seek more. I actually really had this desire to have a spiritual experience. I wanted to have a spiritual awakening. So I went to Bali and I was there for 2 months, and I ended up doing a 200-hour yoga teacher training while I was there. And during that process, I did have a very profound spiritual experience that changed my life forever. And from that experience, I, you know, was able to love myself for the first time in my life. I actually loved myself, and I saw myself as a spiritual being in a human body rather than my ego and all the stories I used to tell myself, about how I wasn't good enough and how I would never be okay. And I also, you know, never believed I could heal from my trauma, and I did heal from the trauma. So after, you know, experiencing that, I was so amazed that you could actually heal that I wanted to help other women. And so I created the program Villa Kali Ma, Residential Treatment Center for Women. And we help women recover from addiction and trauma mostly, but we treat all mental health disorders as well, along with the substance abuse.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, listen, before I introduce or talk to you, Danielle, I came across this morning a book. It's called The Gift of Addiction. It's written by a friend of mine, Sherry Burdett. And in there, she talks about what addiction does to us. And I'd like to just read it to the audience because I think this you can relate to this. Here's what addiction says. I will make you lie, cheat, and steal. I will take your self-respect. I will take your confidence. I will take your family. I'll take your children. I will take your livelihood. I'll ruin your body. I'll take your sleep. I will damage your mind. I will take your memory. I will take your joy. I will take your courage. I will take your creativity. I will take your heart, your love, your energy, your power, your intelligence, your enthusiasm. I will take your humor and your intuition. I will take your integrity, and I will take your gratitude, faith, trust, dreams, hope, and wisdom. I think it says what it's really about here, right? Danielle, welcome. You know what? I know that you work at the Villa Kali Ma, and you help people that come in that everything's been taken away. How do we give it back to them?
So what I focus on at the Villa Kali Ma is finding the core wound, the traumatic event that happened typically in childhood that is the reason that they're self-medicating with the drugs and alcohol. And so it's in healing that wound that the transformation happens, and then the freedom exists after that to no longer have to self-medicate.
Well, you know, when people come into the treatment center, Kay, what can they expect? Because, you know, if somebody's listening to this right now, they're thinking, you know, I'm addicted. I'm going to acknowledge. I'm finally going to acknowledge, yes, I have a problem. Okay. And you know, it's maybe you're a high bottom drunk or a high bottom addict and you haven't lost your job and everything, but I guarantee you'll lose it sooner or later. So somebody's coming in and they're thinking, wow, I need to change. What happens at Villa Kali Ma?
Well, when they first arrive, they are in that state that you just read from the book. You know, they've lost everything. They've lost hope, and they have lost everything in their lives. Most of the time, they're at their rock bottom. And it usually takes getting to your rock bottom to be willing to do something so radical as checking into a residential treatment center. I know that when I checked into the residential treatment center, it felt like I was jumping off a cliff into the unknown. I had no idea who I was going to be. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know who my friends would be. I didn't know who I would hang out with. I knew that my life would be completely different after that, and I didn't know what that would look like. So it's very scary. And so at Villa Kali Ma, we have a beautiful program for women. We have 5 therapists on staff who are highly trained, highly experienced. We have a team of holistic healers on staff that help with their, you know, it helps to keep them grounded in their body, helps to, you know, melt away the anxiety, the stress, and make them feel comfortable in their own skin while they're there. So the team gathers around and creates a safe container for them to feel safe, protected, supported while they do that deep work that they have to do. Trauma work it requires you to be very vulnerable. So we create a safe space where women can feel comfortable being vulnerable. They get seen, they get heard, they get supported, they get loved. And so it's a great place to arrive when you're in that state. It's very different than other treatment centers. The treatment center that I went to was not like that. So the place that we've created is much different.
Well, you know, your treatment center is really different. You know, a lot of people have tried 12-step and it just hasn't worked for them. When I come back, I want to talk about how to make 12-step work and also how to dive deeper into the healing process. What's going to happen for you if you take the steps that we're talking about today? Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
All righty. Well, welcome back to everybody. This is Ken D. Foster. Our show today is called The Courage to Live Free from Addiction. And my guests are Kay White and Brenda Herring. Before I get to the guests again, I want to give a quick shout out to a couple of our affiliate networks. We have UK Health Radio now has information on the health issues of the coronavirus. I know that some of you are thinking that's passed, but everybody's wearing masks still. So you might want to check them out at ukhealthradio.com. ukhealthradio.com. All righty. Well, okay. So Kay and Brenda, if you can unmute your videos, I think you should be able to do that and come back in. That would be great. Danielle, I see you. So listen, Danielle, I was going to ask you anyway, addiction, right? Wow. EMDR, breathwork. How does that help people heal?
So like I said a few minutes ago, the way that I look at addiction is that it's there because it's numbing the pain from a childhood trauma. I think the percentage is something like 92% of people who come in with addiction issues have a childhood trauma. So with EMDR, we're going to be identifying what that memory is, where it got stuck, how it is still affecting the brain from fully, like, so a trauma is going to keep you stuck in the past. It's going to get re-triggered every time your nervous system is exposed to something that's similar. It's going to bring those sensations back up for you. And so the alcohol and the drugs are about, okay, how do I keep this at bay? So that's what's been happening all these years that the addiction has been progressing. So with EMDR, we're going to reprocess that memory with bilateral stimulation, which is how. So EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And basically what you do is you think about the traumatic event and you either do a series of eye movements back and forth. You can also use sound or touch, bilateral stimulation. So basically it's making the brain jump back and forth between the two hemispheres, and that's how the brain will naturally process events. But when something happens, it's too traumatic, meaning that it's too big, the brain isn't equipped to know how to deal with it, or you're too little, or it happens too many times, that memory gets stuck. So in EMDR, we have you focus on that memory, you replay it in your mind with the bilateral stimulation, and the memory starts to process. So at first, it's quite intense. Most people will cry or just, because they're remembering something that was really disturbing. And as it keeps going, eventually, the brain starts to heal itself and realize, I survived. It wasn't my fault. So the memory is no longer right there. People will often say things like, well, I can remember it, but there's no more feeling to it. Or I see the perpetrator, but he's not as big and scary as he used to be. Or even I've had people say, like, the memory feels like it's in black and white now instead of in color. So it just kind of neutralizes it. So I still remember what happened, but it's no longer right there eliciting emotion.
So the emotion goes away. I think that's the most important thing. Is this a painful process for people that haven't done this before?
I mean, so the clients kind of joke that they're like, they walk into their session with me and they're like, oh gosh, like, I'm really excited to see you, but is this going to be painful? Yes, for sure. I mean, it's uncomfortable. You're thinking about something that was, probably the worst thing that ever happened to you. But by the time we're done, which, an hour and a half, you're going to feel so much lighter, so much better. So it's almost like a really hard workout, right? It's painful while you're doing it, but afterwards you feel so good that it's completely worth it.
Yeah, that's really hot. Okay, hey, you got your video back on. I'm so glad you rejoined me today. That's great. All right. So what stops people from coming into a program like yours?
Well, normally it's just fear. People are afraid of change. They know that it's going to mean radical change and it's scary. You know, that's why I postponed it myself for so long. Even after I did the research and decided I was going to go to treatment, I canceled my intake about 5 times. And because I just couldn't pull the trigger, I couldn't step over that ledge and jump off that cliff, you know, it took a while. So I think it's mostly fear that stops people. And then also, you know, relationships, their lifestyle, who they're with. Sometimes they can't see a way out and they don't see how they're going to be able to recover and sustain it after a treatment program. So, and there is, you know, we do a lot for family support. We do family therapy so that we can help with changes in the household that they'll be going back to after treatment. That's a very important part of it. We have a family program, a family intensive weekend where the families all come and it's a few hours on Friday and then it's all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And they do experiential things. They take turns being in each other's shoes. They do psychodrama. They do a lot of different, they learn tools, they learn communication. And they hear, you know, they get seen and heard by each other and it heals a lot of stuff. So that really helps with, you know, going back. But yeah, it is a difficult decision to come to treatment and people do struggle with it, but it's the best gift that you can ever give yourself. It's, you know, the best thing I ever did in my life was go, you know, commit to that process. And I also did EMDR in my own recovery. So I know the power of EMDR. It's very powerful. And I know that my lifelong addiction that I was, you know, my self-abuse with the medications and street drugs and alcohol was all due to unhealed trauma. Wow. I had a lot of trauma in my childhood and I was, I felt, you know, that I needed to self-medicate because I couldn't stand being in my own skin.
So a lot of, there's a lot of recovery places out there and, you know, people that, some of them have 12-step recovery. Some of them don't. Some of them, you can talk to this. But my point is this. My question is this. 12-step recovery alone, does that work?
For some people, I know people who've recovered with 12-step alone. You know, I think it's depends on the person and how much trauma they have. If you have a lot of trauma, I think you need more deeper work. But the 12-step process was great for me in my early recovery. I definitely did the 12 steps. I had a sponsor. I committed to going to meetings. I did the things my sponsor suggested. And I think that the 12-step process, just going through that process, is very healing. You do a fourth step where you do a, you know, personal inventory of all of the things that's happened in your life, all of your, you know, all of the harms that you've experienced, all the harms that you've perpetrated on others, all of your resentments, and you really dig deep into what is really going on with you and your life and what's happened. And then you process all of that with a person who's supporting you, your sponsor, and you learn what was your stuff and what's not your stuff. And then you make amends for the things that were, you know, that you have done wrong. And it helps you put all that behind you. You can leave it all behind from there. So I think it's a powerful process. We do not do the 12 steps in our facility because you can do the 12 steps for free after treatment. So we concentrate on, you know, healing the person, mind, body, and spirit with all of the clinical and holistic modalities that we have. And we have them attend 12-step meetings. So they usually attend about 5 or 6 12-step meetings a week, but they're not required to, you know, start doing the steps while they're in treatment. That they can save for after treatment, but we highly recommend it.
That's great. Well, one of the things you do at Villa Cali Ma is the breath work. And Brenda, I'd like to address that to you. What is breath work and how do I do that? And what does that do?
You keep calling me Brenda. I won't take
it. Oh, I'm so sorry, Danielle. Yeah, go ahead. I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So breathwork is a form of active breathing, focus active breathing that you do laying down with your eyes closed. You breathe through the mouth. What it does is it gets the mind to relax so that whatever you're holding in your body, whatever is sitting on your nervous system, whatever hasn't been processed, is going to come to your awareness, and then the breath is just going to release it out. It's so powerful. It's one of those things that you actually have to experience. Like, describing it, the words aren't going to do it justice. But the transformation that I see happen with the clients in the sessions is just, I mean, I don't know, it's a year.
What kind of experiences do the clients get through this? What happens for them?
So a lot of times they'll say things like, wow, I felt love for myself for the first time, or I realized that incident wasn't my fault, that what happened. Or they'll have like some sort of epiphany where they just see, wow, this is where I got stuck. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Or they'll realize like that a relationship that they're in, like it's that big of an epiphany, like this aha moment that then allows them to make changes from there. And because they created the change just within their body with their own breath, it's permanent. Like, it's not me talking them into anything. It's the realization happened from within.
Wow. Wow. I just love that. That's really good. Well, you know, that gives people hope. So that, I think that's what I want to talk about in the last segment together. So I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking about what happens after recovery. What happens to the family? What happens to the addict? What happens to their lives? All right. We're going to take a break. I'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
We're back with Voices of Courage. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And now your host, Ken D. Foster.
Well, welcome back to the show today. Our show is called The Courage to Live Addiction Free. And I have two guests with me, Kay White and also Daniel Herring. They are both from the Villa Kalima Residential Treatment Center here in San Diego. It's a treatment center for exclusively for women. And we're talking about addiction, and we're taking a deep dive with this. You know, if you're listening to this show today, this is your opportunity to really get some help. Kay, I want to start out with you, and let's tell people how to get a hold of you at Villa Kalima. And let's do that first, and then let's take a dive into hope.
Okay, so we are located in Carlsbad, which is about 45 minutes north of San Diego, of downtown San Diego. It's a beautiful, gorgeous property. It's a beautiful home. It's very comfortable and homey, and we are We are online. You can reach us at www.villakalima.com, and that's VillaKalima. So VillaKalima.com, VillaKalima.com. And our phone number is 760-496-9747. 760-496-9747. So you can give us a call, or you can go online and do some research and read about our program, and then contact us that way.
That's awesome. What sets Villa Kalima apart from the rest of the million recovery centers out there, residential treatment centers out there?
Well, we are very small. We only take 6 women at a time. And the reason for that is to create a perfect container for healing trauma. If you go to a large treatment center where there's 30 women, or maybe a even larger treatment center where there's 120 people, men and women, it doesn't create the intimacy that you need to get vulnerable and process your trauma. You're not going to do it in a big program with a lot of other people. And even if it's a women's program, if there's, you know, 12 women there, women form cliques and they, you know, decide who's not allowed in their group, and people get, you know, uninvited. And so they don't feel comfortable being vulnerable. So if, when it's small, with right now, we only take 6 women at a time, they all bond with each other. They all become each other's support system. They help each other through the process. And so it creates a perfect container for healing. And we also, another way that we're different is we have 5 licensed therapists on staff, and we only take 6 clients. There's I know programs that have 30 clients and they only have 2 licensed therapists on staff. So we're highly staffed. And then we also have a team of holistic healers. A lot of places say they do holistic treatment and they have 1 yoga session a week. We have a team of holistic people, and we do holistic sessions every day, individuals and groups. So it's a very comprehensive mind, body, spirit healing program. We serve all organic food. We're into nutrition. We make sure that they eat a very healthy anti-inflammatory diet so that they can heal their gut and heal their brain while they're with us. So, you know, we're focusing on the whole person, not just the addiction, but the whole lifestyle and the family and everything involved, and keep creating a plan for them so that when they leave, they have a solid plan on how they're going to move forward with their recovery. And we also have an amazing alumni program, and our alumni therapist stays in contact with the clients. She calls them every week for the first few months. And then we have weekly process groups for the alumni group clients every Monday night with 2 therapists on the call.
Wow. It's very comprehensive. That's wonderful. Who, you know, what women really succeed in this program? Is there a certain type of woman that really seems to benefit more than others, or do all women succeed in the program?
Everyone who's coming because they want to recover. If they're coming because someone's making them, or they're coming because like parents are going to cut them off financially if they don't go to treatment, a lot of times that will be, a situation where they may not be committed to the recovery process. So anyone who comes in that's committed to recovery, they really are coming because they want help. They do amazing. We have a really great success rate, way higher than the national average. And so if you want recovery, you will find it at Villa Kalima.
That's awesome. All right, Hope, Danielle, Hope. Hey, so when they come in, they do the work. They work with you specifically with the EMDR and the breath work. What are some of the results that people can expect when they actually do the work?
They're going to feel what it feels like to really be in their body, and to like, they'll have a clearer sense of who they actually are, because they're not going to be carrying around these layers of pain or negative beliefs that have been with them up until that point. And so there's, to me, that's the beauty. It's like we're giving them back their connection to themselves.
Well, let me ask you this. So some people carry a lot of guilt and shame, and they've done things that they are not, they've maybe never told another person in the planet about. They feel guilty about it. They feel shameful. They don't want to, sometimes they don't even want to get into recovery because they got to deal with that stuff. How does breath work so for somebody like that?
It's actually going to neutralize it. I mean, that's probably one of the most common things that I hear is people are like, oh, it's, you know, it's over. It happened. It's done. I forgive myself. Like that self-forgiveness that happens every time, like it's become the normal expected result from doing the breath work.
Wow. That's awesome. So Kay, I want to throw that back to you too. You know, people carry resentments for decades, And they're just pissed off. They can't believe they've been so wronged, or they feel like a victim of something. How do you get rid of that?
That's awesome that you gave me that question, because that's how I was. I had so much rage just under the surface. And, you know, after high school, the next 30 years, I was just a bomb waiting to go off. Anytime anybody triggered me, I was screaming, yelling, throwing temper tantrums. I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of rage. I had a lot of shame. And so for me, it was, you know, these practices like breath work. The first time I did breath work, I felt like I released 30 years of pent up anguish, pent up anger, pent up resentment. And through my recovery process, I forgave my parents. I forgave the people who, you know, molested me sexually. I was able to forgive, you know, everyone and feel true forgiveness. You know, like I'm no longer holding that anger inside me any longer. I've healed from it. And so, you know, it's a really amazing process, because you spent your life living with shame and anger and resentments, and all of a sudden they're healed and they're gone and you don't have that anymore. My mother was a victim. Her mother was a victim. And, you know, that victim mentality was passed down. I spent my whole life being a victim up until I finally checked into treatment and got recovery. Before that, I had victim mentality, and now I do not have victim mentality. I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor and a thriver. Like, I turned it around, and now I have an amazing, beautiful life. I love myself, and I never had that before. So it's so worth it. Going to treatment, doing the work, it changes your life so dramatically. It's transformational. And you can leave without all of that anger and shame.
Wow. Well, I know one thing about addiction. You're walking around with a dark pair of sunglasses on, and you don't even know it. That's the biggest challenge that most people have, is that they think that what they see in life is real, but it's absolutely not, until you clear away the guilt, the shame, the resentments, the remorse, and everything else that is underneath the surface, which is exactly what we're talking about today. So, you know, if that's you, if there's somebody that you know, maybe intimately yourself, that really needs to get some help, and you're ready to do that, even if you're not a woman, even if you are a person that really wants to get some help, call Kay. She'll talk to you. She'll show you where to go. She will help you to do what you need to do to take it to the next level. And this isn't about being, you know, shameful or guilty to make a call. You know, everybody that's ever had an addiction has to tune into their courage, tune into their power, tune into what's inside of them, and make those phone calls to pick up the phone to take it to the next level. Every single person that lives a great life has had to do that. So if that's you, I hope you pick up the phone and call Kay. Kay, tell us again how to get a hold of you.
You can call 760-496-9747, or you can find us online at www.villakalima.com, and it's VillaKalima.
Kay, what if they're a family member and they're thinking, wow, you know what? I see my daughter, my son, my niece, my nephew, and they've got addiction going. I want to get them to VillaKalima. What do you tell them?
Well, we can definitely help with that. I've had a lot of family members call me and say, hey, can you talk to my daughter? And I love to talk to people because I can relate to them on their level. I've been them. I've been where they are. And so it's very easy for me to, you know, have that conversation with them. And sometimes if someone is just not even willing to have the conversation, sometimes they may need an interventionist to help out with getting the person willing to come to treatment. And we've had many successful treatment sessions with women who came via interventionist, you know, and then they were so grateful that they did. They were so happy that that happened, that they were able to get help, and they left, you know, just feeling so grateful that they had gone through this process. So even, you know, sometimes maybe they're not willing, or there's so much fear that they just can't even imagine it. Sometimes an interventionist can help. And if you call me, I have some really good people that I know that can help with that as well.
That's awesome. Wow. All right. Well, I've got to wrap it up. This has been a really good discussion today. Thank you, Danielle Herring, and thank you, Kay White, for being part of this show today. I appreciate both of you. I appreciate the work you're doing. And keep doing that work, because so many people really need this to wake up and become who they were meant to be. It takes courage to come on this show. It takes courage to pick up the phone today and make that phone call and get the help that you need. I hope you'll do that. And for all of you, I want to thank you for being here today. I want to also let you know that you can give us a shout out on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And if you want to email me at viewer@voicesofcourage.us, that would be great. Until next time, continue to live a joyful life and be courageous in all your efforts. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us for Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And we're always interested in what you have to say. So follow Ken on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Also, you can find all of Ken's previous shows by visiting voicesofcourage.us. Be sure to join us next time as Ken brings more stories of courage that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. Until next time, live courageously and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. This has been Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster.